number 45. I'm, of course, dedicating it to Michael Jordan. And just as Jordan did, if this week's episode doesn't turn out very well, we're going back to number 23 next week. Don't ask me how that's going to work out. You know, just go with it. But I am Andrew. I am but one third of the digital broadcasting triumvirate here at the NLSC. But before I unnecessarily throw out any more big words, I'll introduce you to my co-hosts. First of all, there's Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hello, everyone.
And John, but you know him as Jaws Ming.
Coming back like Jordan wearing the 4-5. Oh, can I get an encore? Okay.
Outstanding. I'm pointing at the shoe, you know, just as Pippen did back in the day, you know, beckoning, come back.
Hang on, but, I should grab one of my 28 pairs of J's that I have right now, right, and point to the... Actually, I've got two pairs of Jordan's 10, so I could do that whole Scottie Pippen pointing to the sole.
Very nice. I'm impressed. 28 pairs. I think I have one.
But I've actually had 45 pairs of J's in my lifetime, so there's a little... thing for episode number 45.
Lines up very nicely, you know. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yes.
A-team's going to sue me for that. But we do have a very fine show today. Things are heating up, like an NBA Jam player who's hit two in a row. Yeah, that wasn't forced at all.
Oh.
But we are just 20 days out from the release of current-gen NBA 2K14, and presumably just a couple of weeks away from news on the next-gen games. NBA 2K14, of course, and NBA Live 14, which is next-gen only. And we've got a few things to talk about in that regard this week. Some news, tidbits, our opinions, and maybe even a prediction or two, because, you know, we just like to embarrass ourselves here on the NLSC podcast. But we can dive right into the news this week. And actually, just this in the past 24 hours from when we were recording this, Sean O'Brien, the executive producer of NBA Live 14, posted an update on the official site, just recapping some of the recent updates about the game and mentioning that more news, information, and even some 5-on-5 gameplay will be coming in the near future. He acknowledges how much he knows everyone wants to see that stuff and actually see something about the game, not just hear that it's going well, whatever, and apparently that is coming soon. And our friends over at Under the Code made a few inquiries themselves, actually, and apparently a teaser is coming next week, guys, of some description.
Later, at the end of this week, we're getting something.
Later this week or next week?
This week.
This week? Well, there you go.
Yep, in the, I'm trying to find the, you know, just press F3 and just type in shots. Between now and then, we'll give you a glimpse of what NBA Live 14 is all about. In the next few days, we'll be sharing a sneak peek of in-game screenshots and what you can expect to see and experience this fall. And that was from Sean O'Brien's little article, open letter.
Yep.
So
yeah, I'm going to say by Friday, U.S. time.
I'm going to say the conclusion of this podcast.
Well, that's usually how it goes for us, isn't
yeah.
it? Late breaking news just as we're wrapping up at 2 o'clock in the morning for Ben and myself.
Yeah, it's always our luck.
But I mean, how much do you think we'll actually see, guys? I mean, it is a teaser. I don't think they'll be showing their whole hand just yet. I mean, I don't think we're getting any raw gameplay, or there'll be no 5 minutes of raw gameplay or anything like that in my estimation.
I think we'll get about 6 screenshots, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I'm the one thing that would worry me is if they do screenshots that are just rendered with just one player on the court. I would really love to see 5-on-5 screenshots. And
yep.
I mean, I know they've had some fun experiences in the past, like Live 07's and famous picture screenshot of 5-on-5 gameplay that, you know, was obviously edited. So hopefully we can avoid any kind of controversies like that, because so far, the whole Live 14 preview season has been pretty uneventful, but also pretty consistent. So,
yeah, and quite positive compared to previous years as
indeed.
Well. There's more hope.
And even with the community responses has been very positive, which, to be honest, kind of surprised me in comparison to what we've seen in the past.
Well, there's definitely what's happened in the past definitely invites cynicism, and they acknowledge that. So
yeah,
it's definitely surprising and good to see. I think it still shows that people want that alternative, and it probably helps that 2K, as great as it's been, still has annoyed people with certain things. So that the door has been left open, I would say.
Yeah, do you reckon, aside from screenshots, you reckon there'll be another blog. Do you reckon it'll be about the? Well, obviously, we're just starting to know a little bit about the ratings and some of the other articles. The Living Courts or Living Worlds. You think we'll start hearing about that in the next week or so? Or do you reckon that'll be another about the 2 or 3 weeks away?
Either that or the online content. I mean, that's the big things they're pushing.
Yeah.
Then and Court Q, of course.
Yeah. The Court Q, Living Worlds stuff. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the next big points they touch upon, of course. But yeah, I expect the screenshots will show a few plays, but probably the environments, because that's the big thing that they're touting, of course, isn't it?
Yep.
The way they've been able to replicate the arenas. So I expect that we might get a few aerial shots, perhaps.
I guess the one thing that I'm looking forward to in these screenshots is to see if they've updated that player model or not.
Mm, yeah. Well, a few of the guys that were at E3 said that the models in-game looked a bit better than the renders, the CGI trailers, I should say. So
that's good. Well, what I do hope, if they are going to show a couple of different players, definitely some...
Kyrie's going to be there.
Yeah, that's a given. But, like, you know, have a comparison shot between, like, a Dwight Howard sort of base center with his sort of muscle... structure, especially with his shoulders and his legs and all that, and then have someone who's maybe more of a
big baby.
Yeah, you know, just to show the comparison between the two body frames, so that way we can actually just tell that there's a difference. Even if they had three players in that one shot, where it'd have like maybe a Dirk or someone else in there as well, just so that we can see the variations in the body shapes, that'd be great. And maybe even do that for all positions. So, again, we get a sort of an idea just so we can sort of say, oh, you know, everyone's going to sort of look like the same, the sort of overly skinny body frames and all that. So, I know that's one thing that I'd like to see and hope that they could do something like that just so it will calm down the community's sort of fear that those bodies are going to be too freaking scrawny like we have seen in the past.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that would be... That makes sense, you know, show a few different players, and if they do show 5-on-5 gameplay, not just some players standing around on the practice court, but if they do show some actual screenshots, then you can get a few players into the frame that, you know, some players more bulky and muscular, others more slender, slighter frame and everything, a small guard, a big center, a really stocky player, that kind of thing. So absolutely a good idea. But let me ask you guys, if they do bring back those, if the player models aren't quite what we want, how distracting will that be for you in the games? Because for me, I mean, you do notice, but if the gameplay experience is fine, then you know, if they are slightly hunched over or there are a few things here and there, I must admit, you know, it's not the area where I'm the biggest critic, so I can live with some things, although I certainly do want to get them right, don't get me wrong. But I don't know, I guess I'm more forgiving in that area, as much as I want to see them get it right.
I'll probably be a little bit lenient just because I want an actual game to release, so I want to play something different. So there'll be a sort of go, all right, I can give you a pass on this occasion.
Work on it.
Yeah, but
well,
I don't know where an improvement can go for the next year.
I think, I don't know if that's a really valid point, just because the community has openly, you know, gone after them for those player models since we saw them in Live 13. And I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but they look very similar to what we've seen in the teasers so far for 2K14, or 2K14, NBA Live 14. Hello.
it's collide.
So you have that aspect of it, but I mean, I played Black Backbreaker like crazy. And that had very futuristic styled football players. But entering the next generation of consoles, I think that if they're going to keep those player models that, you know, the community has criticized as much as they have, I think one of those screenshots that they're talking about doing has to be comparing the in-game screenshot to whoever they scanned to have that screenshot. You know what I mean? So that we can say, oh, well, at least it's accurate because they actually scanned Kyrie and that's how he's proportioned. Or, you know,
sure.
Yeah, that'd be fair as well. Like, if they were to do that in their screenshots that they were going to release this week and that, I'm all for that. You know, say, this is how we based our player model. This is why this character looks like that. I'm happy for them to do that. I'm, you know, it it'll be beneficial if they did something like that as well. So, but yeah, if for me, and I know a lot of people, yeah, we just want to see a game and we want to play it. So I think there'll be a minor sort of thing, even if it's just some slight little discrepancies and all that. I mean, we've been living with that for years with computer games, and because this is, or video games, you know, and this is the first year in a new generation, you know, they've got a lot of work to do to try and build something from the ground up to set in place for the next few years. So, yeah, I just want something, and I'll be lenient to some degrees on some things, but as long as the gameplay is solid, I think that's what people are going to be more worried about, I think, at this stage. It's like solid gameplay and an actual release.
Possibly, but there's some people that say, well, if the game looks like that, I won't play it.
Yeah, well,
I mean, which is fair enough. I mean, yeah,
I am regarded as one of those people who are so into graphics myself. So yeah, I admit, I'll be wanting, yeah, I want as much detail and as realistic realism as possible. But we got to face it, the game hasn't come out. We want something that's more playable. So I think that's the priority, is having solid gameplay for this year. That's, I think, higher priority. We can worry about the graphics next year and beyond.
Well, I mean, it's still going to look next gen.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And but if that is the biggest complaint, that the models aren't quite good, I mean, if they're better than they have been, and if the screenshots do show, well, they're pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good, then, you know, if that's our biggest complaint, then we'll be cheering, because certainly... certainly there are other things that can really break a game that we don't want to see happen.
And that's what I was going to say. It's just player models. It's nothing that would be game-breaking, in my opinion at least. Could be a cause for criticism, but if you're going to criticize that, like you said, that's the way to criticize it. What I'm most curious about is if they're going to have those T-shirt uniforms in the game. Those beautiful sucker things.
I'm guessing so. I mean,
they're going to have to.
Yeah. Because they're in the league, so yeah. 2K's going to have them this year. So they've actually obviously got all the design specifications ready to go, so we can enjoy them and never select them.
Yeah.
Unless we're forced to for whatever reason. But they've mentioned screenshots, that we're going to receive screenshots this week, and presumably other little snippets. Again, do you think we'll see any kind of, even a quick clip of gameplay this week, or do you think we're going to be... No? Still too early?
No.
You know what? No.
Yeah. No.
I don't believe we'll see anything until October in regards to...
I go as far as say November. I think that maybe November 1st, maybe the first week, the week before, we might see something when companies, review websites and everything get their hands on the game for their reviews. I do think that this is the way that EA should go. I don't think they should show the general public the game because of... I want to reference Elite 11, but it's just going to be criticized. And I think the best way to show people the next-gen version of the game is to have them play the demo.
But at the same time, you've got... You've got people saying we want to see the gameplay.
Yeah, the community will be fearing that they're hiding something because they're not showing it. And it got that way with a little bit with Life 13 in particular, that they sort of stopped showing stuff, they went silent. And that built people's concerns. So I think if they went that route, then it won't look good in a lot of ways, and it will deter a lot of people from going, oh, something shady's going on here.
People are really clamoring for their 5-on-5 gameplay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the game's a launch title on a new console, so getting people to play a demo is going to be a little tough. I mean, we know there is going to be a demo, they have said there is, but I mean, people are going to be presumably buying a console for, well, not just for NBA Live, because it's not the...
I am.
There are bigger titles out there that the console we're relying on to sell. So, I mean, they've got to show something first, because unlike previous years where we've had a platform to get a demo on a month before the game comes out, we won't have that this time. So they at least need to show something, some raw gameplay. But an interesting comment that Sean made in his update was they don't want to show the game until it's close enough to completion they don't have to use disclaimers, which I guess would be, you know, work in progress.
Yeah. Or, you know, over there beta and alpha sort of stuff.
Yeah, have a watermark, work in progress up there in the video, as they've done in years past. So I guess, yeah, they don't want to have to explain this is a beta version, so they wanted to look as much like the final product as possible, which I think is a pretty good idea. I think they've approached it fairly well so far, and I recall them saying they didn't want to talk too much.
It was more about showing instead of just the PR. They weren't going to go into that PR hype sell and all
ridiculous
that.
Hype and saying, "Oh, we're doing all this stuff," which they have done to a certain extent, because you've got to. They've obviously been working hard in the game. They want to say, you know, we've been working hard on the game and want to put out a good product, because no one in their right mind wants to put out a lousy product. Because, you know, if people talk about, oh, they only care about money. So, well, if you want to make money, you got to put out a good product, because bad products don't sell. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But we do know that the developers care about what they're doing, and they've brought in a lot of people who know what they're doing and are passionate about it. But I like the approach they've taken, and certainly doing this a little bit closer to actually being able to show something. Now that we are getting towards being able to show something, it's a good idea, because if they keep saying, oh, it's coming soon, and they were saying that back in May, and stuff wasn't going to come out till late September, early October, then, again, you've got that situation like you alluded to, Ben, where they kept talking about it last year, and then went silent. So, I do like the way they've approached it this year.
And, you know, as at the time, as a moderator, moderator for EA, we didn't know, you know, and we didn't find out anything until you guys did, and that's the same with Elite 11 as well. Like, we knew that they would have their launch party and all that stuff for it on the Friday, and then next thing you know, here on the Monday, it's been canned and all that. So we knew nothing at that stage, and so it was a surprise to all of us, even as moderators and that, you know. And we took even a bit of slack in that, which was uncalled for. So yeah.
Oh. It's whoever the community can blame, unfortunately, in a situation like that.
And because we're sort of the point of contact or such, or first person in it that they see, we can cop that abuse and that. So, yeah, it's the same in community services as well. So, yeah.
I've received emails complaining about the officiating in the NBA playoffs, so I don't know what people expect me to do about it. Believe me, if I could do something about it, I would, but... unfortunately, I do not have that authority.
I win this one. I just got a message on YouTube asking me if I could talk to someone in the organization to see if I could get Von Wafer to return to the Rockets.
Oh, there you go.
That is a new one.
Why are you interfering with Von Wafer's career, John? Oh, it's what have you got against the guy? I mean,
well, he missed a dunk and then he turned it over. We all seen that play from the Celtics.
Enough said. Is there anything else you want to say on that one, John, before we move on to the next?
The entire mentality that they are portraying through these open letters, the interviews they've done and everything, it's fantastic. I love it. It's great. But it is time to kind of buckle down. And I'm not going to say get competitive with it. We certainly don't need to go back to the Live 10, 2K10 kind of Twitter wars that we were having.
Indeed, yes.
But it wouldn't hurt to... I almost want to say I'd love to see if Live 14's graphics are good enough and, you know, up to snuff enough, I'd love to see them have a screenshot of LeBron that we could directly compare to 2K14's reveal trailer or anything that they put out for a screenshot for the next-gen version, just so we can get a good side-by-side comparison.
There could be some issues with that. In previous years, they couldn't show some players who had signed with 2K in regards to things, so they couldn't show that in early preview states. So legal issue still occurs, then...
Okay, well then Kobe. Yeah. He was in that room too.
I do remember back in the NBA Live 08, NBA 2K8 previous seasons, they... Because Chris Paul on the 2K8 cover?
Yeah.
And they came up with a screenshot, and then shortly after that, EA released an NBA Live 08 screenshot of Chris Paul putting up a floater. And it was just funny to see the comparison right after the cover reveal. But maybe there's been a bit more cracking down on that, especially after a couple of comments in recent years. But the other article of note that came out in the past week or so. Once again, Sean O'Brien, executive producer of NBA Live 14, sat down with CBS Sports to talk about the game and about the ratings and how they developed and the partnership with Synergy. Of course, mentioning the ongoing partnership with Synergy that's been in place since NBA Live 09, and basically said they're doing their best to cut down on subjective ratings in this year's game and beyond. They want to be as objective as possible. There are still subjective ratings in the game.
And that's mostly sort of speed and stuff like that. So
yeah, the physical ratings. Yeah. Although he did note that they do the best to create them as realistically as possible using objective data. So I'm guessing things like draft combine info and other such metrics that are collected.
Yeah. It also stated things like that because a lot of the teams didn't release any information in regards to their in-house sort of testing, like maybe they do some like shuttle run sort of sprints and all that.
Yeah.
They haven't released any other information, so, well, the teams haven't, I should say, so they can't kind of get that information straight. Just because obviously other teams don't want to sort of have that information.
Handing them a scouting report and a plate, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a partial reason why they haven't got to that stage yet. So yeah, I just wanted to clear that up just in case.
But they do have some objective data that they are working from, and I think with those ratings you can usually make a pretty good estimation, and they're pretty easy to adjust. It's more the shooting ratings and things where you've got that data that you can do much more objectively. But the other thing that was mentioned that's worth noting, of course, that the ratings will be updated to reflect the hot and cold streaks and all that fun. But of course, face and other art updates. And that's something we've talked about before, because 2K has talked about doing face updates the last couple of years, but it hasn't materialized. So, but apparently we will be getting at least a few face updates at certain points of the season if players change their hairstyle or get
they
a butterfly
didn't.
Tattoo on their face or whatever. But,
they didn't do it, though. All they did was they added Sheed, and that was it. They took a previous year's Rasheed Wallace and put him back in the game.
Thank you!
Did they even add a few extra gray hairs, or they just straight rip?
I mean, we got 4 revisions of the Brooklyn Nets court, but we didn't get any face mask. It's a silly little thing. I love the idea. It is such a next-gen idea to be able to update art assets. And as we heard from the previous interviews with Live 14 that I think we talked about last week, how they'd have a turnaround of a day.
With the animation
of getting the mocap into the game, and you know how that could mean, like if you know they need to get Thompson's new right-handed jump shot or whatever, you know, get him in and you know accurately mocap that when he goes and visits the Magic, and I don't know, and have that in the game within a week or so. I almost feel like saying it's about time. But
you got to remember when the current gen consoles came out, we didn't really get to experience this until like year 2 or 3, so it wasn't really built into the hardware or like in the design phase of it. Yeah. It wasn't considered. So obviously, you know, Sony and all that have listened to what EA or 2K have wanted and all that stuff and what they want to try and achieve with it, and obviously the ability to dynamically update this game, all their games a lot easier and as quick as possible is definitely going to help.
Within the hour.
Exactly. So, that's definitely great news. And hopefully this won't chew into the development time into the 15 titles and all that stuff. So let's hope that they can use all that stuff so in upcoming title as well.
I just hope they use it to get to that kind of animation variety that we see from 2K. I mean, I'm not saying they need to add 3,000 animations a year, but that's the one thing that 2K has always had over EA was the animation variety.
Yeah.
You know, even going back to 2K6, 2K7, you'd see, you know, a specific player do something that no other player will ever do. And then whereas with 06, yes, we have, or, you know, just as an example, I'm just throwing out there, it happened with every Alive. The amount of signature stuff per player was a lot less than 2K. And I mean, we even see that right now. I forget what the account was for signature players, but I know they're talking about expanding it throughout the year possibly and everything. But it was something like, it was 40 or 60, was it?
Around 40.
And for a next-gen title, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, we had Lie of Await on the PS2 that had, I think it was 30, was it? Yeah. That has 30 signature animations, either go-to moves or...
Sounds about right, yeah.
And then a little bit more for Lie of Await and 09 and 10, of course, on the 360 PS3. That number, I this is why I'm really hoping they're doing mid-season animation updates, because all it takes is for 2K to say that we have 90% of the player's signature animations in the game. And then right there is kind of like, okay, Live's got 40.
The thing is, do you get stuck in those animations, though? Are they canimations?
Yeah.
And if they're canimations, and what I really hope to see with Ignite, which I don't know if that's if this is a feature or not, but animation variety, so that, you know, if you're going this fast in one direction, you take a shot, the leg swings out a little bit further. If you do the same dunk with LeBron, he jumps higher and cocks it back further than if you do the same dunk with Rondo.
think of
a comparison to LeBron.
Yeah. Pretty good. That's a pretty good discrepancy right there.
They did state in one of their first articles that with this Ignite engine, it does allow for more than 10 times the amount of animation. So,
now hopefully they can use it. And I'm not being trying to be a dick about it. It's just the animation variety needs to be there in some way or another, because it was something that I noticed now when I still play Life 10, and it's something that I notice even now where it's like, that's the same crossover. Blake Griffin did the same crossover as Chris Paul. I don't know.
Seen that dunk before, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
All the dunks. Oh.
there was more of dunk variety in Live 09.
Yes, there was.
And
but
under the basket, sort of layup moves and all that stuff as well, which I was disappointed that Live 10 sort of cut out some of those things. I liked Live 09 a lot more in a lot of ways, with the post up low post moves and the give and go based stuff, and then around the basket and dunk animations, there was a lot more variety in it. So
and we have no idea what they're going to do for that kind of stuff. We're going into this assuming clean slate, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what we're going to see and all that fun. Just not to be wishlisty, but I just hope that I just severely hope that this game comes out and does not require a gameplay patch. I hope it comes out. We don't need any patches for the gameplay, but we do get patches for additional things like more animations. Kyrie Irving's new beard. Kyrie Irving has tattooed the Uncle Drew glasses onto his face. I don't know.
It could happen.
There's an Uncle Drew hidden character.
DLC. Yeah. Free DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's Kevin Love's character's name?
I forget his name.
But that'd be freaking awesome if they had that. just as a little sort of.
Or hey, if Ultimate Team's in.
Uncle Drew on the Ultimate Team. Yeah. Like, oh, we just, of course, people just disregarding him and he's breaking out. It's as someone who's, you know, been a roster guy over the years, and that's been my bread and butter as far as the patching has been concerned. Ratings are fiddly, absolutely, and trying to account for players who are slumping and certainly when I've been taking. Suggestions for it. I think there was once I changed Peja Stojakovic's 3-point rating in about 3 consecutive roster releases until I realized, why am I changing it so much when it should be that, you know, in the right range kind of thing? Because this week he's shooting a bit poorly, next week he's shooting better, unless there's actually a sustained effort and all that stuff. And that's where Synergy comes in, so that they do actually have some great data to work with and proper sample sizes and all that kind of thing. And I do like the idea of removing the subjectivity from ratings and actually having those real tendencies and proper all that data, and eliminating the old school field goal 75, 3-point 80, free throw, whatever.
Yeah.
All those generic or limited ratings, I should say. So it's great that they're doing that and doing their best with the physical ratings and things that are a bit subjective. I'm trying to be as objective as possible when. For things that don't have a set scale, because all that stuff goes into players playing like their real life counterparts, which has been a wish list item since we started doing wish lists. You know, people playing like we see in real life and doing the things and having performance that are reminiscent of it. So you're not getting Chris Juhon dropping 35 and 15 and things like that. So there's no point guard domination, things like that. And as we've said, they've got an opportunity to best 2K with their online updates because 2K hasn't delivered with the face updates. They're doing dynamic living rosters. They're doing their own version of that this year with the StatSync partnership, which, as we said last week, they've had for a few years now. So why they're talking about that is a new thing, we don't know. But in any event, that was last week's discussion. But we don't know how often they're going to do the dynamic living up rosters for 2K. Yeah,
They've said more
frequently, but, you know, what's that? You know, every week or every second week instead of going a couple of months and then doing a few updates each time? Or missing players and not adding new coaches? I mean, that's the thing. So they do have the opportunity to make the other detailed updates. But I do actually have a concern based on the previous updates we've received for NBA Live 09 and 10, and that's when they were adding players to the roster. Now, with 2K, of course, they missed a lot of players in the updates. I think even the last official update had about, was it 19 or 20 missing players? Do you remember, John?
I think it was about, like, actually, they did a better, they did one little update near the end to make it near 10, I think it was.
Okay.
But it was still way too much because they still had, I think it was Ben Hansborough was one that never got added, and he actually had an impact with the Pacers.
They had players who were in the rotation.
And just before you keep going on, I wanted to say that one thing great about Live 09 and Live 10 is that they were both updated the year after they released. Just
absolutely
throwing that out there, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But continue on, sorry.
But, I mean, that I'm wondering, because we've never really gotten a straight answer out of 2K as to why. Because originally they said, oh, it's because of the non-guaranteed contracts. But then people looked into it and said, well, this guy's not in the roster. And he's had a guaranteed contract since training camp. So I don't know if that was actually the situation, but certainly there were players with guaranteed contracts who were not added to the roster. So we've never really gotten a straight answer out of that. And I'm concerned if there is actually something that's keeping them out of the roster, is that going to affect the updates? Because they were pretty good about getting players into the rosters in 09 and 10. We actually got players added. The problem was is that sometimes it took a couple of weeks for those players to get the right bio data. So that everyone came in and they were just a generic 6'6", 220 pounds, generic ratings, no other data and such. I mean, to do a real proper roster update, that data needs to be accurate fairly quickly because people are going to be starting a new Dynasty game or a new Rising Star mode game, and suddenly you've got a bunch of generic players running around. You've got the right names. The teams have got a full roster, but maybe two or three players on the teams are not really themselves, for lack of better words. So I'm hoping that with the updates this year, they will actually, and this is something hopefully they'll talk about, and perhaps we can get an answer from them at some stage on it before the game comes out. But I'm hoping that the rosters, when those new players are added, that first of all, that they are added and there's nothing keeping them out of the rosters. And second, that they are actually added as themselves and not, they don't, if there are placeholder players, that they don't remain placeholder players for too long.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes, that would be nice to actually have a Patrick Mills that actually looks like Patrick Mills.
Yep. You know, yeah, if he's going to be waving towels on the bench.
Exactly.
And as Jeff Van Gundy says, no one does it better. You know.
And will that be his signature move in the game?
Yeah, one of the 40 plays for signature moves, that's towel waving. Well, hey, if people can ask for create a fan, you know, that's something that needs to be added, obviously.
Well, I do hope that with the Living Worlds thing that we do get dynamically updating star uniforms in the crowds. I'm sorry. One of my pet peeves is seriously, there's the CPU not being able to use or not using the same moves that the user can use, like putting your hands up, and then like right below that is seeing blank uniforms in the crowd. I'm not even kidding you. Like that is seriously something that pisses me off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like. It's something I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's something, an area where they could go with this, like the sort of my career modes and all that stuff, is the player's stock value rises and with the media attention and stuff and popularity and that the fans in the arena could be wearing your jerseys, your apparel, things like that. So yeah, I think there's there's room for that kind of thing, you know, and it's a good time to start is now with that.
Yeah. And when you sign with the team, there's a cutscene of them burning your jersey on the outside the arena, or
fans crying.
I just
want
to sign. I just want to sign the pop-up that says "Fly, Fat Boy, Fly."
Custom sign creator, yeah.
But I think I hear Leftos programming that in now.
You stopped it. Here's ideas, Leftos.
But. Yeah, it just seems like a step in the right direction, because player AI is important and performance and everything. So if they can remove that the subjective ratings as much as possible, you know, good move, I say.
Yeah,
indeed.
So I think that's about it for the NBA Live 14 news. Although we did get a render, did we not, of Kyrie Irving I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, as I've said, I'm not the harshest critic when it comes to the graphics, but. Yeah, pretty impressive, I thought.
That was very impressive. And if they can do it nice and quickly with that array of professional cameras and the 3D mapping and whatever they did, because we saw the model of it and everything too. It was just very, very impressive, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the sort of showed two variations of it, or was it just the...
That they originally didn't mention it in the article, but then they edited it to put a note in that the one on the left was the original version, and then the one on the right was an updated version of it. Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple of things on the left one that I did like, and it was more to do with their hairline and the sort of there's like a slight bit of fade in the detail sort of around the pointed burns and all that. But I think the skin texturing and the coloring and that looked better on the right hand side of one, and I think that's sort of the top of the hairline with the around the forehead. I think I liked it on the left a little bit more, but yeah, that's me being graphically picky.
I don't know. Me being graphically picky with this is more of a why is it still a texture that's painted down on top of a head shape for his hair?
Yeah,
I do kind of want to see something like, you know, with FIFA, when you zoom in really close to the ground, you can see like the little grass pop up, so maybe you can see little patches of hair pop up on their head. I don't know.
Yeah, well, even the Nathan Drake in Uncharted 3, they actually had a technology where his stubble and his hair could actually grow in the period of, like, they actually developed that it would actually grow in the game, but they decided not to use it in that case. But I think they could have used it in their Joel character a bit as well for The Last of Us. So, yeah.
That fills our quota for Last of Us references in the NLSC podcast.
I'm bringing it back, baby. I'm bringing it back.
But, yeah, that is, again, very next-gen stuff that you would expect, you know, the actual blades of grass on the field or tufts of hair, moving hair. I mean, and, of course, your boy, Kelly Olynyk, you know, you want that...
luscious, flowing hair. I want
luscious locks. Yeah.
I just want to just grab the left stick and just go up and down, up and down, having them, you know, shift side to side, side to side, side to side, and to see the hair just go into replay mode, slow mo, and just have like the very commercially, you know, the hair just goes to one side.
You want the hair tessellation in the PC version of Tomb Raider, right?
God, yes.
I think you need to punch in a go into practice mode, punch in a code, and a fan comes out on the court. Yeah. Not a supporter, an actual electric fan, just blowing the hair around.
Okay. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, that would be so. And
talk about an Easter egg. That would be fantastic, just to show off that kind of next gen technology. Yeah. Perhaps we may not realize that that dream this year, but
Live 06 shows us next gen by putting us directly onto a practice court, instant gameplay from the second you start up the game. Yep. Live 14 shows off next gen by Kelly Olynyk and his hair blown around by electric fan.
and having some music like "She Likes Rock and Roll."
This is some hair metal, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She's my cherry pie.
Well, any NBA Live developers that are listening, you know, we want to throw that out there.
Hey, but, create games with it, you know, it's just free advertising. Well, buying them.
By the way, I just sent you three screenshots of what I was talking about with regards to the Nathan Drake.
Well, thank you very much.
Facial hair features. So yeah.
But I guess that's all for NBA Live 14 this week. We do have another game to talk about, though. The wouldn't you know it, NBA 2K14 current gen, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is about 20 days as we're recording this, 20 days away from release. And we got a few more previews this week, a couple of screenshots and some preview articles that mentioned the standard what you need to know about the game, everything we know so far, that kind of thing. So, and we do have a couple of interesting notes about one of them. The first one is the Game Informer piece, 25 things to know in the areas of presentation, gameplay, association, and online. Some of the key facts were repeated, things we already knew, pro stick, quick play button, but it also noted a few improvements to free agency logic, mentioned that there was going to be a playoffs mode for crew, which we don't enjoy in the PC version anyway, but we throw it out there anyway. Less repetition in the commentary, new commentary lines, that kind of thing. And Leftos actually mentioned that two of his ideas or concepts were on the list. He didn't say which ones. And I thought I had it, guys. When I saw that there were two new stats overlays on that list, I thought, that's got to be Leftos. But if he's being honest, apparently they're not. So, you know, what are they?
I'm fairly certain I know. And I'm going to claim some accountability for these. No. You guys got to remember when Leftos, before Leftos left us for his job.
Very nice.
Do you remember what mod that he and I were going to be working on?
Yes.
The rabbit hole?
Yep.
Two of the features that were going to be in the rabbit hole ended up on this list here.
Is that the players coming back from injury, recovering?
And also editing rotations based on streaks and how players are playing.
Yeah.
So that's where my money is.
But we know we learned Leftos is an association guy, and those are very association-orientated features. So.
And those are huge association features. Like that.
Oh yeah.
Changes the entire way that you have to play association mode. If you actually have to care about injuries for once, or if you actually have to care about. you know, streaks and everything. I feel like I want to get on him because my big idea that I had for association mode that I talked to him about extensively when we were talking about the rabbit hole project, that I love referring it to it as the rabbit hole project.
It's a better name than Wii U, I'll give you that.
But this would be amazing for EA too. But if a player shatters his ACL. Oh, excuse me. If a player comes back from a major injury like an ACL or a shattered elbow or something of that nature, based on the scale of the injury, if it was just a bruise, if it was a complete tear, if it was a broken bone, or you know, something of that nature, the player returns with some kind of an accessory if need be. So you have a broken forearm, come back with a sleeve to keep that compression down. You know, the ACLs would come back with a knee brace, same with a meniscus. Maybe if it's a sprained meniscus or something, a sprained knee, you come back with the jumper's knee straps like I have. just something of that nature. And I remember him liking that idea when we talked about the rabbit hole. And so I really hope, like, maybe they just didn't put it in this 25 things. But if not, Leftos, you got some work to do.
That'll be the dynamic living updates.
Yes. Leftos will go into each of your associations and one by one. This player needs this accessory. It will make Zhao happy.
Earning that paycheck. But, no, that's a... Those are solid picks. I would agree. Knowing how much how into that idea you guys were, and how into association he is, absolutely. But anything else from that list really jump out to you? I mean, it all sounds good, but you know, it's mostly talking about better AI things, which are all good. Don't get me wrong, but nothing earth shattering. I think was the way you put it in the forum when.
Feels like. It really kind of feels like, and this is kind of a rib on them, but it does feel like maybe they gave the community all of their tools for rebuilding the game for like a week, and each of us did like something little thing, and you know, someone, you know, went diehard and added EuroLeague teams to the game, but they didn't incorporate it into any other mode. We have these nice little patches to association mode that, you know, does change the way we're going to play it and everything, but it could have been so much more. We had Cruz back, but it's kind of just a mismatch of it's leaderboards, but with the team up and the my player 3-on-3 from last year. I mean, it seems like it's a lot of this could have been so much more than what they did do. I mean, gameplay wise, and you know, we're going to talk about that. I think they did a great job, but feature wise with these you know, not off the court things, presentation wise, it's like they gave me all the tools to do whatever I want to do with presentation, and all I went and did was just got rid of all the gold swirlies. I mean, and then recolored everything blue. It just...
Which is still important, you know, let's not downplay that.
and it is important. I mean, it does sound like 2K14 is going to shape up to be a game that, you know, is going to be a good one to end this generation on. But I did this stupid thing, and I told you guys this before. It sounds like it's almost like what NBA Live 09 PS2 would have been if it came out on PC. Just a nice way to clean up the issues from Live 08. Here you go, Live 09, PC people. You know, here's all of your, you know, the issues you can't fix fixed up, and you're gonna get nothing but roster updates from now on. I don't.
Yeah. Take care of them, Andrew. But,
I don't know. It's impressive. It's nice, but it's nothing, like I said, earth shattering.
Yeah.
This is my concern, though. If this isn't earth shattering, I mean, is this either says that the next gen version is completely different and oh my god, or, you know, all this stuff, or it means that the next gen version is going to be the same as this and all this extra time was just spent on getting the next gen version up. I mean, are you guys really expecting the next gen version to have different game modes?
Well, no. We know it's going to have one less because it's not going to have crew. Yeah. So, right off the bat, yeah.
In the case of 2K's next gen, I'm not 100% sure. It depends on a couple of circumstances, and for me, it sort of underlines with the engine, whether they built something new or if they're still staying with the same.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about not gameplay. I'm talking about the modes themselves. My career.
Well, I'm saying, like, if they implemented a new engine, then they probably didn't have time to implement some new game modes for it. You know, if they had using the same engine, maybe they had the time to implement some new modes. If not, it'd be more maybe expanding upon the current modes that they have planned for it, that are currently in the current gen one, except for crew. I don't think you said that one's not going to be in the next gen.
That's what they've said, yeah. Okay. Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 only.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, it could be that they're maybe expanded upon, or maybe they could have one or two new things, who knows. But I think it all comes down to if they had a new engine, no. If they have a current, if they're using a current engine, maybe. I'll put it that way.
Well, Games Radar also posted a preview. They also did the standard "all you need to know about the game," what we know about the game at this point, kind of thing. And they finished up the person writing it, whose name escapes me at the moment, concluded their opinions of the game, their hands-on impressions, saying that the current gen game doesn't look like a big step forward, but the enhancements are noticeable and an improvement, and that it plays better. And that's pretty much what I expected. I didn't think they'd innovate that much with the graphics, and I know we've talked about that before, but yeah. And as far as the next gen version goes, they also said that next gen had the same features as current gen, although they didn't give much information about next gen, but did say it has the same features. Although we do know that crew, as we just said, is not in next gen. But yeah, as we've said before, I wouldn't surprise me if the next gen version is very similar to current gen, but with superior graphics, especially based on that the teaser trailer that we received at E3.
Yep.
Well, a couple other things from that previews that were nice. I just wanted to mention. They said that with the retro teams, even Stadia TV features like the scoreboard and logos are faithful to the team and the time they played in. So that could be different and a huge implication for PC with the retro mods if for some reason in the play now we can get those old scoreboards that were in the 2K12 greatness mode or greatness yeah greatest mode greatness
NBA's greatest yeah cool yeah.
The greatness it is so, Joel Anthony but and then the other
hashtag goat.
The issue I took from that the game's radar thing though was but we do get a sense that the team are working on the important stuff first, frills second. And my reply to that is, going into year 5 of my career mode, isn't it time for some frills? Or is that what we got with the text-based Twitter and activities?
I guess that those are the extras that they're doing. And
if you want to get some frills going, so many people on YouTube commentators love playing Saints Row or GTA or Test Drive Unlimited or whatever and simulate themselves driving to the arena. So, if you're talking about some frills, we already know that 2K has some very nice city models based on the 2K7 menus. So why not?
I'm thinking with the LeBron thing, riding his bike into the game. trying not to get hit by the opposition team's bus.
But that's some frills to say, if you're just starting off, you want to be a health nut or whatever, you ride your bike to the arena and you show your player arriving to the arena on his bike or on the bus with the team or in his new Kia.
actually, one thing that Jordan used to do when playing in home games, he used to, every home game, he used to go to a certain area of Chicago and visit some kids in that on the way to the game and used to say hello to them. That's one thing that Tinker Hayfield actually... mentioned in an interview about 18 months ago or something like that, and yeah, this is when he was getting to know Michael, and that yeah, this is something that he did on a very very regular every home game for most of his career. So yeah,
and that could boost your reputation in the community.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
But it's funny that I said that, and I just realized that it's a completely stupid claim to make. There were a lot of frills added just this year in 2K13 for my career mode, my closet.
Yeah.
it's
pretty easy to forget when it's not on one of the versions of the game we play the most.
Exactly. That's why I looked at the PS3 case. I was like, oh yeah.
but when they talk about the important stuff, for example, the grading, which they didn't mention. Games Radar also posted a fairly in-depth preview and. Of my career or my player. Have they renamed it this year? I don't know.
They keep saying it. It's pissing me off. Pick one.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure when they talked about returning modes in that current-gen features list, they called it My Career. I'm pretty sure. But
and the achievements call it My Career, too.
Yeah. So it's just Games Radar referring to My Player because that's the name that was known for three of the 4 years that it's been in the game. So whatever, I guess. But... they didn't really mention anything about grading and the grading logic and that stuff. And that was one of my pet peeves, or more than a pet peeve, one of my biggest frustrations, I guess, with as much as I enjoyed my career in 2K13, the whole losing half a bar of your teammate grade because someone's hit a turnaround, you force them into a turnaround fadeaway three from 30 feet out and they make it because the computer likes to flip you the middle finger on occasion, but you weren't quite close enough. So, let opponent score and then half your bar disappears.
Yep.
Things like that haven't improved.
Or it doesn't recognize that you're helping a teammate out who's getting beaten and all that.
Oh, the teammate makes a defensive mistake and you're covering for them and it's, left assignment or, let your man score. Or, it's... annoyances like that absolutely need to be fixed. And they have mentioned some tinkering under the hood, and I'm guessing that's going to be the big thing with 2K13 current gen, or 2K14 current gen rather, that, as again, it looks pretty much the same but plays a lot better.
Yeah.
And if so, fantastic. Fantastic.
And that's one thing that I actually alluded to in my Under the Code article is the fact that a lot of the game modes are going to be established already. They can just
tweak
and fine-tune the sort of little problem areas that can help improve the game a lot further, and that way close the current gen on a bang. So that was the whole,
as John was saying.
And that was something I actually quoted in my UTC article.
Another a key thing they said, I guess, that is going to be more fun to play as a big man, which I definitely welcome because it's kind of a kind of boring to play as a big man in because you're not getting the ball, not controlling the action and everything, not really getting the credit for doing things that the big men excel at. But also mentioned that it was going to be a lot more fun to play as a point guard. Isn't that really the optimal position to play in my career so far?
Yeah.
Point guard, when you've got the ball in your hands. So, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about there, because that's already the position you really want to play if you want to get the most out of the mode, in my experience, or at least a shooting guard and handle the ball a lot, as I do in mine. So
I'm excited for the big man thing, the comment, but then I realized they didn't make any changes to the game, I don't think. To the my career game to make that the case. I think it's more of just because that now that there's defense again, that thing that exists again. Now it's more viable because you can actually change shots and block shots and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll allude to, like, I had a lot of fun playing as big man in Live 09. That was one of the ones where I felt like they're actually useful, and you could use your size advantage in that, and the fact that you had an array of moves that you could use, whether it would be the pick and roll sort of base stuff, or you actually back them down in the low post and could attack in various ways. So, and then Live 10, I couldn't do that as efficiently or effectively as I thought. So for me, it was just go to the basket and dunk sort of thing, or put up a three. So I lost that feeling in those titles. And in 2K, I haven't felt like I've been able to have that same kind of control like I felt like I had in Live 09. I mean, I was learning to play 2K a bit more between 2K9 and even 2K12, but I feel more comfortable with 2K13, but I still don't think I can have that big man sort of control that I have enjoyed in like I said, in Live 09.
With the own the paint,
yeah. But yeah, just like I it was a key strategy that I used, and I felt like I played more Sim Live 09 than I had in recent games.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that, and I think the last few years I've gone a little bit more arcade and just wanted to go for the dunk. So, you know, if a game can get me to enjoy trying to be more strategic than like I was in Live 09, I'm happy for that.
I find it funny because with my career, I mean, the whole idea behind 2K, at least it's accepted as play basketball, not video games. I know it's a Czar's thing, but I mean, that seems to be the mentality taken by the people who make the game, the developers as well. But then we have my career, which is specifically for get an A+, which means you have to play the video game and not basketball, according, you know, with the
left
man assignments and all that fun BS that we get to encounter in that mode. And then never mind,
if you find a way to get a dunk, you go for it in that mode. So.
And then never mind the whole online with my I finally played one of those and never again.
Well, isn't everyone maxed out 99, 7 foot, 5 that, and everything?
And it's just, I don't know, it's so not fun, I guess. I don't know, it just wasn't fun. It's everyone's overpowered. It wasn't just so much fun for me, just, you know, with my 67 overall player. But I don't know, it was just, I don't know, yeah.
It wasn't.
It needs balance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no more hacking the game, I guess. But we already scolded people for that a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
For that. But the other thing that came out with NBA 2K14 the past week was a live stream of a game between the community reps for 2K Sports, Chris Manning, LD2K, and of course Ronnie Singh, Ronnie2K. The Lakers versus the Knicks, and I got to confess, guys, I haven't watched a second of it.
Me neither. Really? I've been too busy.
You guys,
I know.
Mine's got nothing to do with being too busy. I certainly could have made time for it, but as I've said in previous podcasts, at this point, I've seen enough of the game to know, okay, there's new animations, that looks nice, etc. It's going to look very much like last year, but play better. At this point, I just want to get my hands on a demo and feel how the game is different and then look forward to actually getting my hands on it. And I'd rather see raw gameplay between CPU rather than two human users. So I have avoided it. I should check it out at some point and probably will, but I can't actually offer any impressions of it, so I'm going to have to throw it over to you, John, because I think you're the only one here, apparently, that's seen it.
I am so disappointed.
I'm sorry. I've been part of some election campaign stuff and trying to get some stuff for...
Obviously, you need to get your priorities right.
Yes, man.
I just wanted to shock and disappoint you.
So. Okay, well, the number one best improvement they did. You know that unskippable sprite spark of the game after the third quarter?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Gone.
Fantastic.
It didn't show up in the live stream, and they showed the transition between the quarters because, you know, it always pops up. Even if you tap A like you want to, you have to wait until you see the sprite logo till it goes away.
Yeah.
Nope, it wasn't there, which is amazing. But even if they did skip it before it shows up, that's still fantastic too. I did notice that there's still a lot of ball warping, and also the from 2K13, the live ball from 2K12 still isn't really existent. Which is unfortunate with, you know, the ball going through other players. Yep. It really pisses me off. They have the technology to do it and they're not using it. It was in 2K12. It was in 2K12. They had it. And the ball can go through players again.
Wasn't there some issues, though, that it was being taken advantage of and or causing some issues and that's why they took it out? I vaguely recall some explanation for it.
But that... But you fix the animations then. I don't know. That just pisses me off because I've waited for live ball so much, and I really hope that's what Bounce Tech does. Because I love that notion that, hey, if the virtual reality thing, their arm hits the ball, you don't have the ball anymore. Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me how you really feel. So, presentation
it's all about the shoes for you, isn't it, John?
The presentation is identical. Small changes, less
no stuff.
They did replace the commercial where they zoom in on the players. There's a different one now, but it showed the same one for the first and third quarter, so nothing too different there. I absolutely love, though, the block attempt fall over the stationary player animations. the stationary player is just ready. They shot fake you or something, and you press the block button, and then you fall over their head.
It's a canimation.
It is a two-player canimation, but I've been waiting for that for a long time. So I like that. I can't wait to turn off fouls and just do that over and over again. the defense looks
sim, baby.
The defense exists, and that did come out in the live stream, and especially in the human versus human aspect of it. There's a great sequence where Ronnie as Mello was being D'd up very hard by whoever the hell Chris Manning was playing with, and it looked very, very good. Everyone looked like they were in control of what they were doing, and that Chris was actually responding to what Ronnie was doing and beating him to the spots rather than Ronnie just doing what he wanted to and getting a dunk. They did end up blocking a J.R. Smith windmill attempt on the baseline in the half court with simulation sliders on Superstar. J.R. Smith whipped out a windmill in the half court on the baseline.
Well, J.R. Smith doesn't always make the best decisions on the court.
Oh, so. Yeah.
or off the court, either. Yeah. That's another story.
Although, you got to remember, he did do that awesome sort of, was it a 270 sort of windmill dunk against the Heat?
That was fantastic.
That was one of my favorite dunks that entire year. That was just awesome. And even though it was against my favorite team, and that, it was just too impressive to ignore and deny.
But other than the live ball, the biggest issue that I had with what we've seen so far with 2K14, remember in live 05 to 08, I think the slider was in the out of bounds force field.
Yep.
Oh yes, yep. Yes.
And you turn that all the way down, and if you go towards the baseline, well, F you. I mean, you know, you're going out of bounds. It looks like they turned that slider, that quote-unquote slider, all the way up. Because there was a couple instances where they were running pretty much at a 45-degree angle directly towards the baseline, and they were being force-field pushed into the field of play and everything. And into like these really weird collisions that wouldn't have existed with the defender. Like, as a defender, you can kind of use that force field as another defender, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
When in reality, if you're going to try to go baseline, you run the risk of stepping out of bounds, and that's what it should be. And there were issues again where players' feet were stepping on the out of bounds line and not being called out of bounds because the animation didn't fully touch the floor. So that was apparent as well. Graphics looked identical. We've talked about that before. Like I said, the impression that I mentioned earlier is that it really does feel like the community got their hands on the tools to build the game for a week, and everyone just worked on their little project, and so little things got left, you know, looked over. And while we're going to get a lot of nice little updates, you know, there's so much potential being left on the table, especially after
presumably for next gen, I guess.
Yeah, well, forget next gen. I own a computer, I own a PS3, I own a 360, and we have the potential for this game to be amazing. I want to have my jaw drop like it did when I first played 2K6 and saw all those cloth physics. What I want. I want to have my jaw drop when I see the basketball in Live 06 or the hoop, you know, come out of the ground and all that fun in the temple from 06 and 07. I'm sorry, I was impressed by that.
Yeah, I love that court.
It's a cool concept, yeah.
To be honest, the most next-gen thing, in my opinion, was the Live 09 dual court practice court. I think that was the best thing ever. I spent so many hours just hanging around there, shooting around. And it only would have made me happier if you could have populated that with other online players.
Or even have like some of the CPU players actually play a bit of defense against you, like sort of do mini one on ones in that.
Two on twos, three on threes. That could have been amazing.
Yeah,
but so we have all these potential for this current gen game to be amazing, and you can even do it with features that were taken out this generation. Take 2K7's, I gotta say it, blacktop mode. Take 2K6's player progression for My Career. If you know you don't play your My Career enough, his stats start going down. You take 2K. We'll keep the current association mode because it's doing a fine enough job. You know, you take 2K10's My Career mode or My Player mode with having the D League, and hell, having the D League at all for as a farm system for your players in association mode. Why the hell, you know, having sliders be their own file that you can share with people through 2K Share? You can't do that anymore. Situation mode is gone. All of these little features that people that I don't know if they think that people just don't care about and their telemetric data says that we're not using it. But I mean,
I guess that's what it comes down to, I suppose.
If you just take all those features and put them back in, you could have such an amazing game.
Ultimate game.
A game with no force field physics on the outside perimeter, but the ball can still go out into the crowd and the crowd will actually try to catch the damn ball. That's amazing. But instead, we have these PS2, Xbox. I almost said Xbox One. original Xbox, GameCube. You know, quote unquote features with this out of bounds force field. That's not Sim, baby. It's and that gets me riled up, and I'm the arcade guy. It's just there's so much potential being left on the table with this current gen game. And I'm starting to get the feeling that it's just being pushed aside, and obviously it's going to be pushed aside for next year. There's no way that we should expect 2K15 to impress us anything more than a roster update. But to see this with 2K14, I'm going to call them minor updates throughout. I don't know. I really feel like they should do what they did with 2K5 on the PS2 and just release this for $20 instead of $60, because, you know, end of the generation. What more can you do? We're just kind of focus on next generation.
Do you think this is the last game for this generation? Do you reckon they will do PS3 and Xbox 360 next year? And I guess
Well, they're going to make the game next year. It's just going to be, you know, just here's a roster update. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there'll be one more addition. I think because that not all people will be the early adapters and adopters of it.
I want to remind you that 2K12 came out on PS2.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
and 2K11 had Jordan mode on PS2.
Yeah, so even possibility of 2K16 on current gen console, I think could happen as well.
No, remember, Ben, let me put this in perspective here. 2K5 was, we'll say 2K, okay, so 2K6 was the first one that had a dual gen, or a dual generation with the 360 version of 2K6, right?
Yeah.
That's 6 years additional. We could be looking at 2K19 on the 360 PS3.
Wow, okay. You really think that...
They did it with PS2. Look at the install base of PS3s and 360s around. Just because the three of us are going PS4 day one doesn't mean that the world is.
Well, Andrew would be day two.
Because
he pre-ordered too late.
I didn't get my pre-order in time, yeah. At least day two.
But, I mean...
Yeah, but...
PS12 on PS2? It is a copy of, like, 2K6 with, like... They just hired someone. I'm surprised they didn't do it from the community and said, we need new updated uniforms. But, I mean, if you look at it, it looks exactly the same as, like, 2K7 or 2K6 or even 2K5 on the PS2. And it plays the same.
Okay.
I don't know. It just... It gets me riled up because I think the PS2 game was maxed out for 2K. And I think that the PS2 game was maxed out for what EA could do. Live 10 was obviously a defining moment and could have and should have. And, you know, we can go through all that with what this generation could have been if they built off 2K or Live 10 instead of rebooting. But it just hurts to see so much potential of this generation from basketball games from both 2K and EA go so unanswered. And I know I just got really rambly and riled up there. You want my $60 each year, and I understand the concept of having to leave something on the table for next year. I understand that. You got to sell the next year's game. But that shouldn't hurt this year's game.
Well, we've talked about it before, like the whole taking crew out and then bringing it back and saying, hey, look, we've got crew, but why was it ever out in the first place? Yeah.
Well, they redid it online, kind of, and I can understand redoing your online and everything. But if I remember correctly, when they redid their online, they said they didn't get to do everything they wanted to do, so it's got even more broken down for 2K12 than it should have been. So then that's kind of when you say, so then why don't you just take the 2K13 code and just use that? I mean the 2K11 code, excuse me, last year's code, and just go with it again. This entire generation of basketball games have left a really bad taste in my mouth. Last gen,
as much as you've enjoyed them.
As much as I have enjoyed them, Xbox original PS2 basketball games have left, you know, I can look back nostalgically at those games. Every single one, 2004, ESPN 2K4, the earlier ones. Heck, Andrew, after last week's podcast, you know, I played Live 2002 with you guys on live stream. I had a blast.
That's true.
and it honestly felt like that game actually had some effort into it. I don't know if I can say that for 2K14. I don't know. I guess I'm really, really not happy about it.
Well, we've talked before that the hype level hasn't quite been there
for
any of us, really. So I guess that's got to it plays a big role in it when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I think that. That'll be a common thing, and I think that'll be a determining factor whether there is a continuation of a current gen version to go into 2019, like you possibly think that could happen. I think the interest in a current gen version will die by 2016. In that case, I think that's the max that they'll go to.
When do you think it died for PS2 though?
Well, the PS2 was a really solid machine, like. People,
it had
151 million sales. So yeah,
so but they don't, you know, they haven't been keeping up with the Wii version of the game the past couple of years. And I'm not saying that we can fault them on it, but
yeah, well, the Wii's more first party based games anyway. It's never really had the third party support and all that stuff. So, I think because what we've seen with 2K with its current gen version really hitting its wall, where it's just almost to the point where it's a copy and paste job. You know, I think people will enjoy it, a current gen version continuing like that for another beyond 2 years until they're waiting for a severe price drop in the next gen console. Yeah. So that, you know, and probably waiting till a few more exclusive titles or a few more big games to come out before they'll jump over it onto it. So I'd say 2016 is probably going to be one of the last version of a current gen, basically because Xbox 360 or PS3 made the 151 million sales single-handedly and stuff like that. So yeah, that's my belief in it. Okay. And well, yeah,
hopefully if nothing else, when they do phase it out in the next couple of years, we at least continue to get a PC port.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, Ben, do you remember what all of the platforms FIFA 14 is coming out for?
For this, it'd be current gen, next gen. It'd be mobile. There's a free to play. There's I did say mobile, didn't I?
It's Android, iOS,
PC,
3DS,
yep.
PC, Xbox One, Xbox 360, the Wii. They're not doing Wii U, which is funny. The PlayStation Portable, the PlayStation Vita, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 2.
Yeah, well, FIFA's a money game for EA.
Like, I know.
That's their money bag. That's their money bag when it comes to the sports. So, that's guaranteed worldwide sales. That's why. That's a guarantee that they'll sell so many copies. So that's why they know they can do it. And, you know, for a couple of years, they've been doing like a free-to-play version in some parts of Asia and all that stuff before they are bringing it into the Western markets and stuff like that. So they're trialing it in different areas. And that's because they know that they can get those sales with FIFA. FIFA's a beast. So until an NBA title reaches that many sales, yeah, I don't see, as 2K, as strong as 2K basketball has been, I still don't think it can touch as many sales numbers. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think the sales numbers are even close.
Oh yeah, it's at the 2 million mark for the 360 version for 2K13, or it's almost at the 3 million mark.
Yeah.
Well, one final tidbit before we move on to our next topic. Ben just found Steve Noah from Operation Sports, of course, just tweeted out a little note that came out from 2K International. Apparently, the 2K14 will feature Spanish commentary by three Spanish commentators. Which, as you noted just in the chat window there, John, wasn't that DLC? Is what you asked?
I'm
going
to double check that real quick.
And I believe that was DLC last year. So I guess it's a little extra, 125 hours of commentary that they've recorded. I don't speak Spanish, so I guess that's not going to benefit me very much.
I haven't spoken Spanish since I was a kid.
¿Dónde están mis pantalones?
Okay. But
mine's more simply hola, ¿cómo estás?
But so cool, I guess, if that's going to be packaged and not any extra for Spanish speaking players. But it's unfortunately I will not be able to really.
I remember there being it was for 2K13 Spanish commentary pack add on.
There you go.
Boom, so, found it. You had to buy it.
You had to
buy that? No,
if you say so.
$5.
Actually, yes, that's right. $5. I remember seeing something on PSN Network.
Yeah, that's where I just found it.
Wow.
$5. Well, hey, I guess that's true that everything from DLC that was in the previous year is going to be featured in the next game. I'll take my Legend Showcase, please.
Yep.
You can keep the cell shading. That's fine.
At least make it optional.
Wow, I did not know that. That they charged for it. Wow. I'm sorry. That blows my mind.
Well, apparently not this year. So, this will be the ultimate 2K, I guess. But I guess that wraps up the discussion of the news from the past week or so. But we do have other goings on around the community, modding projects and whatnot that you brought up before we started recording today, John. So,
oh, yeah.
This
Mizachi. He is this guy. He's a good guy. Mizachi is someone from the older forums, and he has made the news recently for planking and getting fired for such things at work, and updating an NHL game. Well, we've been working on NBA Street Volume 2, and we've hit a very nice point with it where I did the roster, and he cleaned up a couple things with the roster, and then he went through and updated every single player's uniform. And for in the case of players who had the wrong skin tone and everything, he went through and added some generic skin tones. So Andrew Bogut has blonde hair. Doesn't matter. The game looks and plays amazing, and it feels like it's just a roster update for 2K or for 2K for wow, NBA Street Volume 2. I just uploaded a video right before we started, and I'm going to be doing a full announcement of version 1 of the HDR mode, which is funny because we haven't HD'd anything. But the HDR mod for the Dolphin emulator of NBA Street Volume 2, it is worth it in every way, shape, or form. He's added he added Team Shaq and Team Chuck. He added the All-Star teams, all of the updated logos and everything. The game is ready. The problem is that we still don't have anyone doing cyber faces, which really hurts. I'm going to be spending some time taking a look at the textures of NBA Street Volume 3 and also the PSP NBA Street to see if there's anything we can snag from that to get LeBron actually looking like LeBron a little bit, even if it was from his rookie year, because that's how far back we're talking here. But it is...
When there was a hairline.
When there was a hairline. But it plays amazing. It looks... It doesn't look amazing yet. We'll get there. But the looks get the point across that you're playing NBA Street Volume 2 with 2013-2014 rosters. And it is very difficult to shake that feeling that this actually just happened.
Yes. It looks very cool. I saw the latest screenshots you posted, and you can see it coming together. It's just if the faces can be nailed, that.
Unfortunately, I've tried cyber faces for this. I've tried it a couple times, and I just cannot. It is not in me to do cyber faces. I'm sure I'll try again. With everything else I'm doing in my life, the last thing I need to do is sit down and do 300 cyber faces. Actually, it's 150, but still, it's a lot, and I've been trying.
That's when you throw up a tutorial for everyone else to do it, John.
I did. I already did it.
That's true.
That's when you
spam the forum with the tutorial.
That's what I'm saying.
You might be banned for a week for doing so, but it can pay off in the long run.
You can't ban the administrator. Power trip. But no.
I can. Ben can't.
Remember who you're talking to, John. But no, it was. It's amazing to play. I will try to do a tutorial on step by step how to install and do everything with this. But hands, hat, whatever, off to Mizachi for doing as much as he has. He really put the project on his back. And I don't want to shortchange myself because I did do a lot of work researching and getting that roster updated and all that stuff. But he put a lot of time into just making these textures for each individual player, home and away. And that you can't take that away from him. That is just unparalleled. It's fantastic.
And something very different for our community.
It is.
Yep. It's a different kind of, I mean, we're still reskinning a game, which we've talked about before. That's a bulk of what we do when it comes to modding in our community. But it's still very different to what we've been able to do before. So very impressive. So, yeah, if we can get the faces in there somehow, that would be, really, really cool.
Yeah,
I just want to say, you've already replaced Left Us with Mizachi, haven't you?
No.
You've already moved on. You've already moved on to the next one, haven't you?
I can't say that because Mizachi has a job and everything, and I don't talk to him as much. God.
He's your new bromance at the moment.
If anything, I think I've replaced Leftos with Razor. He's the one I talk to the most now after Leftos has been actually, working and
doing his job.
Doing his job. Bastard.
Damn these motivated people.
But I unfortunately realized I had one hell of a crush, and I was talking to B. Edwards, Rookie of the Year 19, who has made that amazing roster for PS3 that I ported to PC for 2K. And when we were chatting while I was trying to get my recording set up for the video we did, all I kept talking about was leftos, like some ex-girlfriend I just can't stop talking about. And I kind of thought about it for a second. I was like, this poor guy is just listening to me just talk about leftos over and over again.
He's probably saying, man, this guy is whipped.
I miss him so much. Seriously, there's so many things that I found out about the crowd data files, and he supposedly listens to us still, and it'll be interesting to see if this comes out the other end if he messaged me about it. I'm changing the topics over to the next one now. On to the next one.
Yep.
2K14, we're going to have that fun little period in the beginning of the season where we can't do a lot of modding, but we can. We can do all the reskinning that we've talked about, but we can't really properly use it with roster editing. It's not until the Redditor comes out that we can really do all the amazing things that we can do with the game. I kind of have a workaround for it, and it's really going to piss them off. This year, 2K moved away from having byte-aligned rosters. And essentially what that means is instead of having wasted bits of data, we're talking binary, we're going down to the ones and zeros. Instead of having wasted bits in the file, anything that they didn't need, they compressed into itself. So it was no longer bit-aligned.
Sounds like it imploded in itself.
It is a very interesting reason. I have no idea why the hell they do that. They're saving kilobytes of size. The only thing I can think of is they did it to try to deter us, but come on. We still have PetsMod and memory editors. I mean, you'll never stop us.
I figured it was just to get more shoes into the game. But...
And then we found out that 2K15 is a Facebook-only game. Oops. But,
Or free to play.
So at the beginning of this year, we had that chickens with their head cut off kind of moment. Vlad came out and said that it's going to be really difficult to get Redditor ported over to 2K13. And as we saw, it took them up until, what was it, April, till the release?
About that, yeah.
And we had Leftos' tool, which because of Leftos doing his reverse engineering, finding out about the bit alignment, it was because of him that we were able to get around it. And he made this great tool, Find That Hex, which will let us shift files to get rid to account for that bit alignment and make it so we can properly hex edit like the days of old. So while we're dealing with these save files that are, we'll just call them encrypted and messed up like that, there's this if file in the game called roster.if. And this file is used whenever you go to options menu and hit reset roster, which means it's also the roster.if file that is downloaded through the game each time you get a roster update. So this file is not bit messed up. If you uncompress it with the tools we have for editing if files, you have access to the roster, essentially. And I did this to do my early street mods, where I was replacing courts and their hex references with that. So it's a very malleable file. To use it, you have to get yourself offline for a second, just by read-only a folder, and then you're all set. To get to the point, if for 2K14 we have non-bit-aligned save files again, I fully plan on trying to make a roster editor out of Hex on steroids, similarly to what I did with NBA Street Volume 2. What it would mean is that we would have a roster editor, theoretically, within the first couple of days of the game coming out.
Very nice.
Because I can do it really quickly like that. I can get that boom, boom, bing, ding, doom, whatever, done. Nice, quick, and easily. It's not going to be pretty, but it can get done, and we'll actually have something that we can do full-on rating edits for, nice, quick, and easily. And it would make hex editing the names a lot easier if everyone's using this method. But I know it's going to piss him off because he got really mad at me this year when I wanted to just have him edit that file instead of editing the save files and take all the time dealing with the bit alignment. But we know where that all went. And it also makes it so that that kind of roster editing would be exclusive to PC, because you can't obviously change if files on the console versions of the game.
Yeah.
So that's going to piss him off. But it, thinking about that, where the roster editor might have to end up in my court, you know, through grad school and everything else going on in my life, made me kind of realize if the community is truly set up for modding for 2K14, going into it right now, it looks like we're going to be able to use all of the if files from 2K13 and 2K14. That's just my assumption, because I've seen no changes whatsoever. And if that's truly the case, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think, I guess I can do, or what do you think the community can do to improve the whole, not we're not talking about modding culture here with sharing, you know, stuff like that, but in terms of...
That was what I was going to say. That was going to be my point, but...
But improving tutorials, or improving... just the general release structure that we have. What do you think that we can do to improve it going into 2K14?
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, my point was going to be that that we do need to be more open about the when somebody finds out information, you know, when somebody cracks, you know, how to do this or that, to share that information and not to monopolize it. I mean, that's I know that's getting into the modding culture, but that's certainly something that needs to be done for the tutorials. Tutorials, and again, as soon as somebody finds something out, not just mentioning but actually putting up the detailed tutorial, of course, doesn't always have to be a video tutorial. I think a lot of people get put off by text tutorials, and they shouldn't be, because if you follow them, if they're detailed and well-written...
And if you do a text tutorial, I'd be happy to do a video one for you.
Well, that's right. Somebody can come along, like yourself, and adapt it. So, yeah. Again, you know, it's just modding culture, but I do think the open source approach is something we should, and sharing resources is something we need to encourage and continue. But well, actually, here's another thing. I did write a little note when you threw that topic out before the podcast. Focusing on the right kind of updates from day one. We've talked about it before. You know, we don't need 50 different Kobe Bryant face patches. You know, if somebody can get working on, okay, fixing the jersey colors, because we know that the palettes, the color scheme is not right. We've talked about why so umpteen times before. Finding out which players are missing, doing those faces before fixing up players whose faces are already at least decent and look pretty much like them, getting the missing faces. Things like that. I think identifying what needs to be fixed or replaced most urgently in the game, what needs to be most urgently done to get the game modded and spruced up the way we like it, and that's what to focus on first, you know.
Yeah, and the same with the courts as well, like the colors on the courts.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, but let's assume that we can use everything from 2K13 and 2K14. It's a difficult assumption to make, but at the same time, it's not too difficult to update all the things, you know, if we already have them all done. So let's just say we're starting 2K14 PC. We can take what we have in 2K13's file structure and just copy pasta it right into 2K14, and we have updated court colors, updated uniforms. The King went through and updated every single uniform in the game.
Yeah.
And released it as a one-pack download. We're talking everything from corrected color schemes to having the Boston Strong warm-ups on the bench and patches on the uniforms for the Celtics. Let's assume that we have the tight uniform update that Bliss did, and that we have that working. All the courts from Sixers 85. I mean, you know, I can name drop all I want to. I guess what I'm asking is, my concern going into next year is we are still very unorganized as a community, and that's where we get the 85 different Kobe cyberfaces. What the heck can we do to try to make it more organized and without having someone like me tell everyone what to do?
Well, that's the thing, can you? I mean, everyone's got the right to do it, but I mean, we can suggest very strongly that if there's already a pretty good Kobe Bryant face out there, maybe work on something else. Making the lists of checklists of most wanted updates and most needed updates, and putting that out there and saying, well, here's the challenge, guys, of what needs to be done. And girls, here's the challenge, community, of what needs to be done to get this game up to date. Here's the resources we've got. Here's what we need to do. You know, have at it. And if somebody says, well, I'm going to do that, then that's what they've got dibs on. If they don't deliver, if they say, I'm going to do that, and then they never show up again, well, obviously somebody else can pick up the slack. But I guess it's hard, because everyone's volunteering their time to do this. No one's getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone's got the right to say, you know, there's multiple Kobe Bryant fans in the community, so they might all want to have their shot at doing the definitive or the best version, and some people are better at this and that.
Yeah, when it comes to the... It'd be like a street cred sort of mentality. Is like, oh, I want to be known for the best Kobe Bryant face. I want to be known for the best to do this kind of thing. So there's sort of that mentality.
And that's hard to override, but I'm not sure because again, it is getting into the culture really and saying, well, focus on what needs to be done rather than your favorite player or something like that. I guess
I don't know. It's difficult, and I want to say it's the culture too, but it's disheartening is the best way I can describe it for myself. To put so much work and effort into tutorials, and then seeing something that, like, for instance, my tutorials helped a couple people start doing cyberfaces, and then I saw them. I know they helped them. I know that, you know, they came right out with me and you know, asked me questions about cyberfaces, and I helped them out with it. And so I know that my tutorial is being used, and they went into this project and said, hey, look at the cyberface I made for such and such for your project. Use it if you want to. And then to see them get absolutely trashed for the quality, and which was, I thought, was good. And for the fact that, you know, we have this master that's helping us instead, and we don't need you, and all this kind of BS. And I mean, there's without a doubt that the culture needs improving. I think we
get spoiled because we had some really talented people in the community to the point where, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have high standards because, you know, that's why I don't make faces, because if you saw the faces that I've tried over the years.
Why do you think I haven't finished off the NBA Street update?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason I don't attempt a lot of things outside of rosters. Things that aren't just flat textures, basically, because they're easy logos and whatnot. But I think we do get spoiled and rather than saying, well, hey, look, we can actually have a face that's not for a missing player that's much better than having some cobbled-together create-a-player face. People say, oh, well, it's not perfect, but it's still way better. It's still way better than what a create-a-player can do. It's still really good. It looks like the player. You can tell who it is. Maybe there's a slight imperfection.
Yeah.
I think... And we've talked about it before, and it bugs me when people just say, oh, that's crap. And they don't say, oh, you know, just move the nose a little, or that eyebrow's a little off, or the eye's not quite aligned, or something that's constructive. And I think that's... I guess we do get spoiled. We've been spoiled by the really talented people in the community, so when new people give it a go and they're not as great off the bat, because who is perfect out of the gate with this stuff? Yeah, the attitude is not always welcoming or very positive at all, so... I just think it comes back to that attitude and the culture of saying, look, you don't need to sugarcoat things or be, kiss up and not be constructive, because that doesn't help people get better either. But the bottom line is to be constructive and not just write people off or say that, or, you know, just be polite, I guess, is the main thing. Because even if you don't want to use someone's work in your project, you can just say, oh, thanks, you know, I'll certainly consider that. That's very easy to say, you know, that. So, and we don't want to be that community that really enforces niceness to the point that we've got to ban people just because they were a little bit rude. But at the same time, you know, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to change a culture that's, especially when they have gotten used to a certain level of work and then, and are so not accepting of work that's by their standards, not up to their standards.
Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to set the standard so high with my jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think... damn it, I had a point I was going to make. Damn.
About the general attitude? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few times when I was starting out that, you know, I wasn't that good because I was still learning the tools and the trade and being able to get the templates and all, and work with them and all that stuff. So, and like even like I only did a couple of shoe patches and I mean there's like huge technical challenge in a lot of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen some of those things. I'm like, nope, I'm just gonna leave that to the people.
So, but you can see the skills and that evolve, like. Shoe patches, jersey patches, face patches, you know, they're give them time to sort of refine and enhance their skills. Yes, give them critique in what could be improved, but no need to be nasty. I'll make a point, like, with NBA Live, like, between 03 to even 08, Jason's kid's face was a really hard one to patch because the way his sort of cheeks were and that, if it looked wrong, it made him look like a bulldog or like what's that cartoon character? That sad, droopy dog. I can't remember.
Oh, droopy dog.
Yeah. The, sort of like the Hanna-Barbera, I think it is, or something like. You know, his cheekbone or his cheek and that sort of looked like that. So, and that was a hard.
You mean my cyber face, really?
Yes, cool. Yes, that one, that one. He was.
It's my impression for the week.
It was actually a good one too.
It was a very good one, yeah.
Like, yeah, that was one of the key characters who faces that were a struggle to get accurate and stuff like that. You know, a couple of people got it right, and some people didn't. But and you know, maybe someone didn't get it right one year, but because they reworked their skills, maybe they did a second patch that year, or they improved the next year in that. So. You know, everyone's going to have a different starting point with their skill level, but they'll get better. And then from that, who knows where they could be? They could be the next me. They could be the next Andrew when it comes to rosters. They could be the next guru like John. They could even be the next Leftos. Who knows? So,
and we certainly encourage that because that's what we need. I think
exactly.
I mean, I guess... To wrap it up, what we really need out of the gate are tools in case what we already have doesn't work properly, and especially with the rosters, because you can have all these great art updates, but what we really need to do is easily be able to assign them, especially faces and things. So,
and it's because I was supposed to learn C-Pound over this four-week break I had, or 6-week break, but it didn't end up materializing. Imagine that. having a child and another one on the way, somehow, some way, that just didn't provide time for me to learn C-Pound while I was also doing all this modding and finding out that how to edit crowd positions. We've never been able to do that before in a PC basketball game. We've been able to take crowds from different stadiums and put them in a different stadium. We've never been able to fully customize them. And we can do that now. But I don't know. It's just I want to do more, but there's still so much more reverse engineering that needs to be done, I guess, is what my problem is.
Well, I think as long as we have that good attitude and we get right into it as soon as the game drops on October 1st and start, well, let's have a bit of fun with it first. Let's play it for at least an hour before we start modding. But then, you know, I guess as long as we get right into it.
You mean start blacktop mode, and then okay, I guess it's time to start modding.
whatever floats your boat, man.
Actually, I just had a thought. Well, we know we're getting a 2K14 in that on PC, but I was thinking like if we don't get one, say next year in that, do you reckon we should start our own Kickstarter to develop our own?
No. We talked about this in after we found out there was going to be no Live 09 and before 2K9 was announced.
Yeah, but we didn't have the whole Kickstarter idea and concept at the time. So
who are we going to hire? We were going to have to hire people. We'd have to run off the Unity 3D engine probably, or if we got lucky, maybe the CryEngine. The art off assets, I mean, at least the NBA is more open to licensing with everyone instead of just having exclusive licenses. But
we still have to
get NBA licenses. If we don't do NBA licenses and we go generic, then we have to worry about cease and desist letters from the NBA.
We could just even do like a backbreaker method in that sense.
Well, And all the while, we're going to be having two next generation basketball games on the market. And
yeah, but Kickstarters are the niche thing right now, so who knows?
Pro Wrestling X, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I will say Pro Wrestling X, but you saw those new previews.
I did, yes.
It's paying off now, but
absolutely, yeah. But the Kickstarter did fall short, which was disappointing.
But then they unleashed Uprising, which means they had something to give out.
Indeed,
there is no way that a community run, gameplay based basketball game, it could come out. We are too small of a community. Unfortunately, I feel like we are too much of a disjointed community, especially. Considering how many people came in and poked their heads into the NBA Street updates. Oh, my God, I've been waiting for this. Oh, my God, this is like a dream come true. And I'm nowhere to be found to help out.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it was just a crazy idea, and it just came in my head. I'd just share it.
We talked about that recently, I thought. Not you, but, you know, okay. In the community.
Well, I wasn't good enough?
No, nice. You're just late. Go play Last of Us. So I don't...
already there. But it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm playing.
I wish
right now.
It would be amazing to have a community run, created everything game that would do everything in the world that we wanted to. But I mean, I complained earlier about the force field at the baseline. Unfortunately, I know for a fact that that's not just something they can just delete in the code and oh, now it's gone.
Know,
it doesn't work that way.
I know, but it'd be cool to develop our own game.
It would be awesome, but yeah, maybe a little beyond us at this juncture. But
financial juncture.
Yeah, but we do have other games coming out from people who do have a bit more money to play with. So we'll do the best we can.
Just a little bit more money.
Just a tad more, yeah. But we'd
have to license the Euphoria engine, or else I'm not on board for it. So
yeah, well, definitely. I'd want to get on that Euphoria engine as well. Do you reckon they would be doing a next-gen version of Euphoria engine?
Oh, I'd hope it is a next-gen engine. it's just an animation engine. It's not a graphics engine.
That's true.
So I just want Ankle Breaker. That is the perfect game. They have Backbreaker. They have Icebreaker that only came out on mobile. And then, of course, Ankle Breaker. It would have been perfect.
If there's no closet in the game, I'm afraid I'm out.
Or not enough shoes that are realistic. Not enough shoes, with the laces.
Not enough clothing options, that's right. But we have come to that time of the podcast again. It's time to open up the mailbag and embarrass ourselves with our off-the-cuff answers and predictions. Got a few again this week. Thank you, as always, for sending in a few queries and comments. Got one here from 22 Cedric. What do you think about the announcement of a gameplay teaser and screenshots from NBA Live 14? I guess we kind of covered that at the top of the show.
Yep. About time. Can't wait. Let's do it.
Yep. Basically, they're taking the right approach with it. We've already talked about that. But, thanks for the question. But, yeah, when it comes to news like that, we always usually give that in the main discussion of the week. NIB, who's involved with the Ultimate Base roster, of course, has some suggestions for topics that we can consider for future weeks. A lot of interesting stuff there. There is a question for this week that we could touch on really quickly. It says, who will win the competition this year, Live 14 or 2K14, EA or 2K? This is actually something I think we could revisit, especially as we get next-gen stuff and say, well, who's ahead? The thing I would say about that really quickly myself is... You know, we don't have enough really to go on about the next gen game at the moment yet. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. It really depends on who's best prepared. The obvious answer is that 2K is in a better position because they've had that solid game that they can at least port across and polish up with new graphics, if at the very least. Whereas NBA Live's got to reestablish itself.
Yeah.
But with everything that Live has done and to get ready for the next gen, it may be closer than it would appear.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's difficult to define which one wins. You know, if it's based on sales, 2K is going to win. At the same time, the Ignite engine could be this amazing thing that we've been waiting for basketball video games. And if it builds up to the hype, we could have the better game there. Right now, I think it's going to actually be EA. Just because I am very skeptical about what we've heard from 2K next gen wise, and judging by their current gen offerings, I'm very skeptical. I hope I'm blown away. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to have an amazing game that's worth me buying a PS4 over. But for right now, I'm actually in EA's corner on this, just because of being built specifically for Ignite, and we know for a fact that they are going off current gen stuff with 2K because of what we saw in that little teaser.
Okay, Ben?
Yeah, I definitely think at this stage, obvious choice will be 2K, because what we just said, you know, the fact that they've had something release and it's something that's been solid the last few years, and that in particular. And I agree with John in that with my concern is how well prepared 2K had set themselves up for the next gen. Like, for me, I need something new, and if they're just copying and pasting the engine, that's where I feel they're not going to do
it.
It could be like the whole Call of Duty Battlefield 4 situation, or Call of Duty Ghost Battlefield 4. You know, just the Battlefield 4 looks so much more prepared for this next generation, whereas Call of Duty Ghost just mildly is just a mild update compared to previous things. So that's my concerns, and I think if this next gen engine and that Ignite is as good as it can be and deliver, even if it's we're looking at for this coming year, aren't we? We're not talking about just sort of the next couple of years.
Yeah, okay. It said NBA Live 14 versus NBA 2K14.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another thing. And that's why this is going to be so interesting to revisit, because in future years, it could be, depending who is set up the best.
Yeah. All right, I'll put it this way. Even if 2K are still using a current gen engine, there'll be some things that they'll be strong in for this next gen. But I think if they're not using a next gen engine, then I think EA will be stronger in other areas in that. So it can go either way, but I think EA do have that advantage right now, because they are purely focused on next gen and not having to worry about a current gen, and the fact that they've been working on it for more than 2 years now as well. So I think that the ball is in their court. Whether they drop the ball or whether they actually do a slam dunk, we'll soon find out.
Absolutely. But we definitely will revisit that. This is an interesting topic, but we'll need to get a few more previews, I would say, of what both companies are doing at the moment. It is speculation, but John's the one going out on the limb, and you two. I'm at the very least, I'll say it's close. It's going to be closer than people think, I believe.
Yeah.
Or that could just be my wishful thinking, but it does seem that they've EA has positioned themselves to compete much more than they were with the blunders towards the end of last generation.
Like, I still think 2K is going to get some monster sales no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think a lot of people's attitudes towards EA at the moment may sort of hinder them. They'll sort of go in not so much fanboyish sort of style, but they'll sort of have some blind shades
to people have also felt burned by EA. I mean, there's people I obviously say, I'll never buy from EA again. Maybe that'll change if the game turns out to be really impressive, but some people truly won't, because they felt burned by the brand for whatever reason. So there's always that, but it's up to EA to win those people back, and or at least do their best to do so with a quality product, and that's, as we've said before, the only way to do it. Okay, I guess that's about it for that one. Just taking a look at the next one here. It's actually from our very own Q-Baller. What do you think Leftos has worked on, if anything, for 2K14? Well, we know he certainly has worked on things, because he's got two ideas in the game. And I guess, as we said before, those are the association ideas seem to be the most logical since the...
Well, you weren't wrong. I mean, if he didn't say it wasn't... Didn't he say it wasn't those in the thread?
It wasn't the stats, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that would have been the first one that, like, Leftos.
That had Leftos written all over it. That's why I was like, that's got to be Leftos. But no, it's... I mean, that's the great thing. I guess, since we've already touched on that and made our predictions there, but, you know, obviously, not to... talk too much about behind-the-scenes stuff that's not even really my business, but, I mean, Leftos moving to another country to start work, lots of red tape and hoops to jump through, so it was great that we actually got over there in time to work on this year's game, you know, and that was a concern for a while that what would happen there. So that was really cool that we were able to, he was able to sort that all out and get all that paperwork done and everything and actually work on the game this year.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Obviously, he's done in blacktop mode, and that anything that happens with blacktop mode, he will be held accountable for. So either he will be the lead director of 2K15, the executive producer, if you will, or he will be in a abandoned alley if he butchers my mode.
He's actually there in the code. It's all commented out. Ha ha, Jiao Ming.
You know what? That would be absolutely hilarious if there was some kind of Easter egg in the EXE or something, just saying, "Hi, NLC, F you, John."
Type in Jiao Ming in the code screen. Yeah.
I actually just sort of pictured a scene like from, was it Casino Royale? That first one that Daniel Craig was as Bond, with the chair torture scene with the rope. So that was the first thing that came to mind, like when you were saying that he was going to be in a.
I'm standing up now.
Yeah.
So I could sort of see that.
Okay. Let's see. Kenny has. This is a question from last week that we missed. Says, "What would name some of the?" Says, "Name a starting five, but we don't need to do five. We can just do a few, since might need more preparation to do a starting five. But what are some of the players you've overachieved with in NBA games?" I'm going to say me, because what I've done in my career as myself is nowhere, way ahead of what I'd ever be able to do in the NBA. So, me. Ben Gordon, of course, in my NBA Live 06 Dynasty, multiple quadruple doubles, including one that came in conjunction with a 92-point game against the Lakers. That was fun. Also got a quadruple double with Kevin Garnett in 2004, NBA Live 2004, 72-point game. And my cousin and I playing NBA Live 97 back in the day set new assist records with Steve Nash in consecutive games as a rookie. So those are some of the players that I've really overachieved with. Anyone, any weird, wild and wonderful performances stand out for you guys?
Let's say in the PS2 NBA Live days, Steve Francis was crazy for me. In 2K9 and 2K10, I thought I found this diamond in the rough with Chris Douglas Roberts, and then I got to find out that he is this ridiculously overpowered thanks to some 2K bias or something from Operation Sports. So, whoops.
That'll be known now as the Andre Drummond bias.
Yes.
This coming year.
Surprisingly, I don't have any current go-to free agents or players I try to trade for. It's actually kind of funny. I don't really have anyone in 2K13 that I can just go to and be like, yeah, you're not stopping me if I get to control him. Which I don't know really what to say about that, but I guess I would just say C. Francis and CDR for the early 2K PC games and the live PC games.
Right on. Any favorites, Ben, that post ridiculous numbers?
Yeah, I probably got a few with when I was getting Eddie Jones and that in some dynasties and stuff like that and live days and. So, yeah, I think I probably had some high-scoring games where it got him to take most of the shots and stuff. So,
You just reminded me of someone. Actually, I did have someone from that was different for Live 03 and Live 04.
Yummy.
I wouldn't really call that overachieving. It was pretty beastly. Just a little unknown bench player on the Celtics called Walter McCarty.
Oh,
I love Walter. Here we go. Had to get it out.
Where do we go from there? It's all downhill, right?
That's right.
Perfect time to sign off. No.
We've got a couple more good questions. But anyone else, Ben, that...
I was going to be ironic and say Jordan, but no. That's... Yeah, you can never overachieve with him.
Once it gets to 200 points, that's a little. I guess
that happened one time.
Well, DeAndre Jordan,
Well played.
What about Jay-Z in, was it like?
Justin Bieber. Yeah. Oh. Celebrity team.
The CPU went overboard with him being able to dunk. So that's the CPU's fault there on that one. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to dominating with Leftos on Team 2K.
They better update it.
Well, you were talking about what's the first thing we should do when we get the game. If he's not in the game, we'll put him there.
His go-to move is his beard attack. Or that sort of pandery eye look that he did for his, was it Facebook profile? With this, where he sort of enlarged the eyes to look like the cat on the Shrek movies.
Oh, Puss in Boots.
Yep.
A deceptive left though.
Yeah.
Sure, Julian. So this is an NBA question. Real NBA. What do you think about Ricky Rubio? Will he have an impact this year, Ben? You're a fan of the Rubes? That's his new nickname now. The Rubes.
Sounds like an STD. sorry. I got the Rubes, man. I like his passing game. Where his scoring game, I think, won't be as strong still. I think he might sort of be a little bit concerned about not trying to do his, re-injure himself again. So he did his ACL, didn't he?
Yes.
Yep, that's right, because he's all part of the Adidas All ACL team. That's right. I think his scoring won't be the biggest factor of his game. I think it will be his ability on the court to see the passing lanes and all that stuff that a lot of players won't see. So if he's passing games up to par, I think he can be dangerous. If not, he may not have that big breakout sort of year that people might think he might have. So,
well, I think it just depends on people, other people on the Wolves making their shots. I think he will definitely legitimize putting a full feature of 2K14 in for his fancy passing.
Oh yeah,
talking about overachieving players, Ricky Rubio in 2K14. I'm sure with that fancy pass stick.
40 assists per game.
You know, I don't know why there has to be a fancy pass stick. Why can't they just, you know, make it just be passing? Just saying. Yeah, that would have been fine. But I think he's just going to do the same. Too young, not scoring enough. Nice passes, highlight plays, but meh.
Yeah. I like Rubio. I mean, he's very fundamentally sound, yet at the same time flashy, which so he can make the highlight play, but not in a way that's really taking away from the team or being too dangerous. As you guys noted, he's not the greatest scoring threat, but certainly a shaping up to be a fine floor general. I think he'll have a pretty decent year. It's going to be a tough one because the Timberwolves are not exactly stocked with talent. So they do have some good players, of course, but I don't think anyone's expecting them to do wonderful things. So, you know, he'll be toiling away on a team that's struggling to get the eighth seed. That would be setting the bar fairly high, but nevertheless, he should still be fun, make them fun to watch, basically. And I'm a fan of the Rubes. And the last question for this podcast comes from Barockefeller, who of course has made some great updates for the Xbox 360 version of NBA 2K.
Does he give you back your BB bounce?
Not Barocca.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misheard.
Barocca.
Oh, okay. I misheard. Yeah. Sorry, my apologies for that.
Yeah, we're not mentioning brand names until they pay us.
Except for the NBA.
Except the NBA, of course. You guys likely touched on this last week about the NBA 2K Real Maker.
To bring that up.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a good one to end on, and said, now that 2K has confirmed over 3,000 new animations, feel like 2K is missing an opportunity for YouTubers to have a robust replay in-game editor. Unfortunately, there's no longer a feature.
Where do you post this? Main page? Twitter?
This is actually on the main page, yeah. It's a fairly lengthy thing, so I'm paraphrasing. I don't mean to...
buddy.
And do you feel the streamlined version like 2K12 for the replay? Do you think it'll return to a more robust Real Maker? I'm guessing they're not going to do anything with it, and it's a shame because. Also says I just want the feature back for the dunk contest alone. What are your thoughts? Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to do anything with it. I think replay is going to be pretty much the same, which is a shame because it is a feature that could greatly benefit the game. With the way people approach gaming these days, the story threads, highlight mixes, let's plays, it absolutely makes sense to have that kind of video editing and enhancement features in the game. So, and as Rockefeller said, you've got all these new animations, and it's always fun when you see, oh, that's a new move, haven't seen that, or that's a new dunk this year, and it, when it looks really cool, you want to relive it and replay it, and now with YouTube and everything, everyone can put their highlights up really easily.
And the share function for the next-gen consoles?
Exactly, so it would definitely be nice to have the Real Maker. I have never actually been able to use it myself. I've never made use of it. I think you have, John, in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, not to continue the rant from features taken out. This one hurts a lot, and the whole community site hurts a lot. Just because remember, on the console versions, they had their full blown association stats, box scores, and everything's highlights from the game, everything for each individual game uploaded to the community site, and yep. We have crap diddly of that now. And it was me, Barackafella, Hawks fan, Shadow Grin, B Nicholas. All we had a nice little niche of people who were always on the front page of the highest viewed reels for 2K10 and 2K. Well, for a little bit for 2K11, just because they really butchered it in 2K11. And I have a lot of fond memories of that. It wasn't like 2K7 where they had that really random bounce dunk where the animation was literally it was kind of like the Steve Francis bounce dunk, but a lot more compact.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And I remember seeing reels from that in 2K7 when that debuted. But that was such an amazing feature, and I really, really miss it. But it sucks. But I don't think they're going to do jack crap with replay mode. I really think that they need to let us have the keys to have any angle we want. If we screw up the game by putting the head behind a crowd member's face, let us screw it up by doing that. I don't know. It's just another one of those things where it's a missed opportunity, another feature taken out, all that kind of...
How about a bad smartphone video angle where it's just like behind someone's head and it's done vertically, and
why not? You know, why not have that for the pregame intro with LeBron doing some crazy dunk? I don't know.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
It's such a sad thing because that was such a fun feature. That was the first time I really enjoyed the 2K community, because before then it was all 2K versus EA, and I was obviously on EA because they were releasing the PC version and all that fun stuff. And I never fully enjoyed the 2K series because I couldn't enjoy the people in that community. And then when 2K10 and the community site was out and the Real Maker and all that stuff, and I started talking to Hawks fan, I started talking to B Nicholas, I started talking to Shadow more without, you know, his circle jerk kind of crap. And Barackafella, really get to, you know, talk to him and talk about modding and street mods and all of his stuff. I mean, these are stuff that I use to create the community site mixes that I still watch every once in a while, like probably once every other week, because I just love them that much. And it's really, I would almost say that community-wise, and this is right up there with doing all the stuff with Leftos and Pat over the years, the sum mod, the early days of the PC mod with you, Andrew. I would honestly say that doing all the Real Maker videos with these guys was one of the best community experiences that I've had with a basketball video game.
Right on.
So I missed it a lot. I really wish they'd bring something back, but we're not going to get it. And EA Sports World or whatever they have now isn't going to make the cut. it's just unfortunate, and it's never going to be like those old days. So whatever.
Yeah. Anything to add, Ben?
I mean, I'd like to see some way of doing, if maybe on the next gen, especially some different type of filters and things like that, so that way it can make it a little bit more artistically interesting for submitting onto YouTube or to Twitch or Ustream and all that stuff. So it'd be nice if they did something, but I won't hold my breath.
Yeah.
I miss it.
$5 downloadable content.
Oh, I would pay that so many times over, though.
we can just wait and see, but yes, we won't be holding our breath. But I guess that's going to wrap it up for the mailbag this week. Thank you to everyone once again for sending in your questions and comments. I was a little bit late putting the last call out again this week, but you guys came through and gave us some good questions. And yeah, absolutely continue to hit us up with that. I'll continue to pester the community to get involved, and we hope you enjoy listening to us give our predictions and answer your questions and everything. I guess if I can throw any suggestions to you, basically, if it's in the news, we are going to talk about it. So, you might want to make it a bit more specific or general, general video gaming questions or something like that. Stuff that we won't necessarily talk about that you definitely want to hear us talk about. But in any case, keep sending in the suggestions and the questions, and we'll if you do enjoy talking about it and having that interaction with you, our listeners. And I guess we've reached the end of another episode, have we not, gentlemen?
Sounds it.
I believe so.
Well, then I will do the usual plugs. Of course, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and we're also on Blueberry. You can continue to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Please do so if you haven't already. You can also follow us on Twitter, @the NLSC. The NLSC, of course, is NBA-live.com. It's where we have our news, our downloads, all the fun stuff we do with the things we love, that is basketball and basketball video games. So, thank you once again for listening. I'm Andrew.
And I'm the new Labour leader, Arcane.
The new Labour leader?
Yeah, I've taken over K-Rod's spot.
Okay. Well, and I am the fat boy who flies Zhao Sming.
See you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.